WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, where hundreds of researchers make new discoveries inspired by the work of previous Dana-Farber scientists. Learn more about their momentum at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. The day musical theater fans and history buffs have been waiting for is almost here. The Hamilton movie officially drops this Friday. It's a great thing that this Pulitzer Prize winning and groundbreaking musical will be available to a wide audience after the show debuted at the Public Theater. It went to Broadway, and it was really hard to get tickets, and if you did, they were spendy. Filmed in 2016 over the course of 3 days, including two live performances, the movie features the original cast, including my next guest. One of the most dynamic and memorable performances in the show comes from actor Oak Onadawon. He's Hercules Mulligan, a secret weapon for the resistance, helping Hamilton and Lafayette with a larger-than-life presence who announces himself this way.
Brah, brah, I am Hercules Mulligan, up in it, loving it. Yes, I heard your mother said, come again. Hey. Lock up your daughters and horses. Of course, it's hard to have intercourse over four sets of corsets. Yo, I'm a tailor's apprentice, and I got y'all knuckleheads and local parentis. I'm joining the rebellion, because I know it's my chance to socially advance. Instead of sewing some pants, I'm going to take a shot.
And in Act Two, he's James Madison, the polar opposite character who's sort of meek by comparison, an antagonist to Hamilton and crew. And speaking of the Hamilton crew, on this show, we've had Hamilton alums David Diggs, Renee Goldsberry, Anthony Ramos, Alex Lacamoire, the guys from Freestyle Love Supreme, Philippa Sue, Angel Reynolds. So I knew it was just a matter of time before we talked Oak into coming on the show. Oak Onadawon, welcome to All of It.
Hello. Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So you know what? I'm not sure people know this, but you're a local guy. You're from West Orange. And the legend goes that you took the theater after a football injury. So,
yeah,
what's that transition?
Yeah. It was simple. I got in trouble a lot in school, and I got kicked out of school a lot, and football was the thing that kept me focused. And then when I got injured, I needed to do something else, the idle hands, as they say. And the theater and performing was the only other thing that kind of kept my focus, basically.
So when you got to the stage, what were some of the things that you used from your time as an athlete when you got to theater?
Just discipline. Just recognizing if you want something to be better or to grow at it, you just have to log hours in. You just have to put the time in. And that's the thing that carries me through my career, is that discipline that I got from my sports background.
So at what point did you know that theater was going to be a thing that you wanted to pursue for your career?
I think I knew that in New Jersey there was a thing called the Governor's School of the Arts, where they would take a certain number of students, and they had a Governor's School of the Science and Governor's School of Math. It was all sponsored by New Jersey. It was very lovely. So I got in the Governor's School of the Arts, where kids all over New Jersey audition. They take maybe 20 kids to study at a campus for a month at 15 years old, as if they're in college, to get a taste of what it's like to be in a conservatory, to dedicate your time to studying this craft. So I auditioned for that, and I said, if I can get into this, then it's a sign that this is something I should do. If not, then I got to figure out how to do something, because my parents are immigrants, and they were not trying to have me just sit at home.
What was something you learned from that time that you still use today?
Like just listening to your voice, like knowing that people can do a thousand different ways, but no one can do the thing the way you can do the thing. And that's actually what you're selling. That's what you're offering, is the way you do it, not the quote unquote best way to do it, or the way that someone did it previous to you. Because I stood out a lot, and I was different given my name and everything. So it kind of forced me either to find shame in it or find power in it. And I think when you're different than most people, you have to make that choice. And I think the stronger choice is saying, I am different, so I'm just going to own it and know that no one can ever do the things that I can do the way I can do them.
Well, where did you learn that resilience?
My family, my mother. Basically, just from my family. My mother came to this country, and my father, too. They both came as immigrants, and a lot of immigrants have that resilience. They already recognize, I am not from here. I'm already on the outside, so all I can do is just do everything to the best that I can do it. You know, their English will never be as good as someone who was born here's English. So the moment you accept that and say, I'm just going to, but my grammar will be on point. Like, you won't have better grammar than me. And that's, and that's kind of like what lives in me.
So you were involved in the musical from the earliest stages at the Public. What was your first reaction when Hamilton was described to you?
It never was. The first thing I heard from Hamilton was the music. Whenever I get an audition, I'm just kind of like, do they have materials? And I'll let it speak for itself. Everyone puts their own point of view or try to sell something. And as an artist, I always ignore that. I'm like, what will speak more than anything is this material. So I got an email, and the first thing I did, but I didn't read anything. I was like, let me just listen. And listening to the music, that's kind of what I got hooked on that. I was like, great, I love the music, let's do it. I didn't think about the implications or the impacts or any of that stuff. And I've always been that way in my career.
What was challenging in the early stages of the development of Hamilton?
Figuring out what it is. I think very much so, Lynn wrote something, and then it was like, okay, he hired all of us. He's like, well, now what does it look like? I think he got all the words out, and that the challenging thing was everyone creating and finding out like what the thing is. Helpless, satisfied, we did that without a turntable. So figuring out what that looked like without all the moving parts, I think that was the challenging and exciting thing. I think every challenge was exciting because every person in that room, their career was built on them being the one person who can do what they do that well. So everyone's like, dope, how are we going to figure this out? I don't know, but I know I can do this and that, what can you do? And just collabing and figuring that out was challenging, but also exciting.
That's interesting. So a room full of people who are truly individuals, each, and it's funny now that you're saying that, I'm thinking about it like, that person's that way. Yet being able to collaborate, it sort of sounds like kind of like a collage in a way, a sort of a collage of talents and skills.
Yeah, and it's just smart artists. It's smart artists. It's like, I can do these five things. And everyone's like, well, these three things that I do mix with those two things that he does, mix those three things. So you just let go. It wasn't people who were saying, like, I want to show all the cool stuff I can do. It's like, how can all the cool stuff I do help create this piece and have the same kind of message running through, have the same tone and same feel? And I think you get that when you have generous, smart, disciplined, talented people in a room.
My guest is actor Oak Anadhawan. I hope I'm getting that close. He is in Hamilton, the movie. It'll be in Disney Plus on July 3rd. When you found out that you were going to play two characters?
Mm-hmm.
You were always going to play those two characters, Hercules Mulligan and James Madison, were always matched.
Mm-hmm. They were.
All right. So when you started with Hercules Mulligan, he's the lesser known of the two. His name alone is pretty descriptive. What did you discover about him as you, I'm assuming you went down a research rabbit hole?
I did. There's not too much on him, and that's the thing. There's not so much on him, and especially after the World War, he just kind of disappears. Like, he goes back to his life. So the main thing that I got really was a lot of Hercules came from Lynn's portrayal of Hercules. Because he, in actuality, was older than all of them. All of them were like 18, 20. Like, yeah, he was kind of like the father figure. That's the local Parentis line is a nod to that. He had a wife, he had kids, he had a family when all this was going down. So he very much so kind of brought Hamilton into the herd and said, look, I've heard of this kid. You should listen to him. You should hear him. And kind of brought him into the fold. But I think that also works for him being a spy. He doesn't want to take up too much space, make things too obvious. He's very good at like just blending in. But has this like big old personality that was inspired by Busta Rhymes. His rap style is inspired by Busta Rhymes. So I kind of fused that with this guy of Hercules Mulligan and said, like, what would the meeting of the two be? What would this version of him be? And then Madison, there's way more information, so it was easier to draw a lot more influence on the actual man. He didn't like campaigning. He was very soft-spoken. He was sickly. So the idea of constantly being in a state of discomfort, it's like, what does that do to you if you're constantly in discomfort? I'm sure you're just trying to get to the point of whatever you're doing and go home so you can rest. So that's why I kind of made him the way he is, very pointed with his words. He doesn't, not much flash, not much show. He doesn't take attention on stage because that's not what he's about. He's like, we need to get it done so we can move on. So that is how I kind of built Madison around the actual Madison.
Can you, I mean, I sort of encapsulated there and I've read a little bit about it, but I'd love to hear from someone who had to be involved with it. What was the process of filming the movie?
It was great because for theater performers, like a year into a run, it's in our bones. We know it so well that we can actually like play the moments in between the lines. You know, at first with previews and reviewers and all that stuff, you're worried about like hitting everything as it is. But after some time in a run, you can really let things breathe and you can be like, I know what I need to say. So like, what are you emotionally doing right now? You know, like, how do you feel? Instead of just listening to the lines as a cue. And I think that's why the show that you will see on Friday is as tight and beautiful and pure as it is, because it's everyone has had it, and now we're literally just living through it. We're not presenting it. We're not even really performing it. We're just kind of like living and breathing as these people. And I think that's a wonderful thing to capture and to share for as a theater, as someone who's been doing theater for some time now. I'm really grateful that this is the performance that everyone gets to see.
Now, was the direction different?
No, the direction was just kind of like, do your show and I'll get it. Tommy Kail was very good about that. He was like, just do what you do. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about the cameras. You know the show better than anyone. Do it. And then let me worry about how I'm going to catch everything. You know, it was, I'm very grateful for Tommy Kail that he kind of set the bar there.
You know, there's been so much discussion about diversity in theater and this letter that's been circulating about Dear White American Theater. And one of the reasons that, aside from the music, that Hamilton is groundbreaking is that because of the cast and who was in the cast and who gets to play who in this show. When you think about going forward in this moment in theater, what would you like to see? What do you think is, and also, what is something small that could make a big difference?
I don't think there's anything small that can make a big difference right now. I think we just need big changes to make big differences in the theater community and all communities. I think after George Floyd was murdered and we all watched it for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, in tandem with everyone being at home during COVID and all they have to do is just rewatch this video, it forced people to kind of really come to grips with the fact that what Black people and people of color have been saying for centuries is actually true. We have technology of cell phone footage where it's undeniable now. 8 minutes, you can sit down from top to bottom. We saw what happened. So there's no question of what happened before or whether this is not true. It's just data and it's just facts. And I think that reckoning is spilling out into all facets of society, because this mindset is in all facets of society. So as far as theater is concerned, it needs to be a big change. The way you're seeing big change and big changes that are asked of our government needs to be asked of the institutions that herald art, quote unquote. So many times in the theater community, Black and brown voices have been muted due to the fact that they say ticket sales. It's about ticket sales. But then that's all in a system built for that excuse to allow them to perpetuate the narratives that they wish to. So what needs to happen in Broadway are huge changes. We need to take risks on shows that promote Black and brown voices that normally would be controversial. Black Lives Matter is a controversial statement. Just think about that statement. It's insane to think about. But there needs to be that bravery in theater to say, this show may not sell, but it doesn't matter. We're not doing it for money. We're doing it to change the narrative of how people are represented in this art form and in my own craft. So yeah, chances have to take risks. You have to put shows out that may not quote-unquote sell money, because the great thing about Hamilton is that not that it cast all these people of color, is that it was received so well, the casting of people of color. That is what's monumental about Hamilton. They've been doing this forever, recasting Black people in white roles or playing white characters, not telling their own narratives. What's different is this music became so successful. And
you're
I think
on a
that's
roll.
What people need to realize.
And we need to wrap, but I'm so glad that was your last answer.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
Thank you for having me.
Great answer, by the way. This is all of it on WNYC.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.